We are continuing, as I said earlier, probably forever, for this theme of going for growth. And I've given today's message a title, and it's called "Ooh, New Things." That's what we're looking at today. So, ooh, new things. That's it. Now, if we're serious about going for growth, and those of you who have been to the live services and the Zoom services, you've heard different speakers speak on different elements of this theme. We're not telling people what they should speak on. We're just asking our preachers to pray, to think about what areas of growth God would have them share and then share them with us. But if we're serious about going for growth, then we need to understand all of the important news that the Bible presents to us. Now, when I say understand, I mean understand in a biblical sense. And although it does start with some head knowledge, you know, we've got to give this some thought. We've got to get our heads round it, but it must become heart knowledge. And it must become something which moves us and shapes us and transforms us and comes out in our daily lives. It's not just head knowledge, even though it may start there. So we need to understand all the important news that the Bible presents to us. So what news might we be talking about? I might have been a bit disingenuous here with my word news, but what news might we be talking about? Well, I can tell you a few of these things. The Bible talks about a new song, new things, a new covenant, a new spirit, new heart, new mind, new attitude, new character, new tongues, new commandment, new creation. I could go on, that's a lot of news. And the Bible talks about a lot of new things that God has done and continues to do through Jesus, because of Jesus, for each one of us. Now, this, I'm not going to go through them all in detail, but a new song, this notion that God, by His Spirit, has put a new song in our hearts and our souls, which overflows in praise and worship, no matter what the circumstances. It's not always hand clapping, dancing, joyful. Worship can be lament. Worship can take all forms. But God's given us a new song. And that new song will overflow from our hearts, no matter what the circumstances. We'll come back to a couple of these, only three of these, in more detail, because I'm leaving sort of homework for you to do. Basically, I can't do all of this for you. We can only do this for ourselves. So you'll see what the work is at the end. There's quite an enigmatic scripture in Isaiah. I understand the original context, but I believe, like many of God's words, they find application in many contexts where God says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it?" God does new things, and he asks us a question. Do we not perceive it? And sometimes the answer is no. And then we can say, "God, give me eyes to see the new things you're doing. Give me a heart to understand the new things that you want to do in me and in us and in this community we're called to serve." A new covenant, this new relationship we have with Jesus because of what he's done on the cross with our Father in heaven. A new spirit. The day of Pentecost reminds us, in our personal experience, I hope, when each of us have experienced the infilling and the presence of the Holy Spirit, that he has given us a new spirit, new heart, new mind, new attitude, new character, new tongues, this new language that God gives some people, a prayer language to pray in words that we don't fully understand, a new commandment. It's actually two rolled into one, isn't it? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and mind and strength and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the Bible goes on to say all of the law and the prophets are fulfilled in these commands. And a new creation. So that's the news. In fact, that's only some of them. If you read through Scripture, Old and New Testament, look out for the times the Bible says new. God has given you a new, or God will give you a new. There are loads of them. And I suspect many of us can easily just sort of skim over them as we read and never stop to say, what does this new thing mean in my life? What impact does, can, or should this new thing have in my life, in our lives together? So basically, to put it in theological language, there's a shed load of new stuff in Scripture. And we need to be asking ourselves and asking God, what's it got to do with me? And trust me, he will tell you. He will tell me. In fact, there's so much new stuff. There's so much good new stuff. I'd expect us Christians to be chomping at the bit to get stuck into this lot, because it's life-changing and it's life-transforming. And these are just the start. The few I've read out, let's call them the news headlines, the top-level news. And as we consider and begin to explore, we'll discover there is so much more to these than just the headlines. However, when I was thinking about, new things, there's a common characteristic I've noticed regarding new things generally. And we see this clearly in children. We certainly see it in teens. And we see it in adults. It's just that we're better at hiding it and we don't like to admit it. We disguise it well. So I'll just describe something that's common to all of us. You know that feeling you get when you've bought your first super yacht. I know. That 250 million was a bit of a stretch, but boy, was it worth it. The pool, the Olympic-sized swimming pool on deck, the helipad, the jet ski store hidden away at the back. Everything new and shiny, you thought, I'll never tire of this. This is what I've always wanted. And then, after a while, the pool just doesn't seem quite big enough. After all, you've seen a bigger one over the marina. And the helipad, it's just not going to be big enough for the new helicopter I want, because I've seen a new shiny one of them as well. And so it goes on. Suddenly, the new isn't good enough anymore. And we want another new thing, a different new thing. And so the cycle goes on. So let's scale down the super yacht to whatever fits our particular circumstances. That new car, that new bike, that new mobile phone, that latest model, that new camera, that new perfume, that new fashion brand, whatever it is, we see this effect in our lives. We all know that feeling. Don't lie. We all know that feeling. We see it readily in others, don't we? Well, oddly enough, they probably see it in us as well. It is there. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting new things, but it is all about our priorities, the priority we give to these things, the strength of the desire for them, and wait for this, the extent to which we commit our resources to acquiring them, money, time, and energy. It's about prioritizing. If we get those priorities wrong, if we get that balance wrong, committing far too much money, time, or energy to the wrong new things, we find ourselves slaves to consumerism, to materialism, to the must have the next few thingism. I made that one up. That's idolatry, by the way. But when we get the priorities and balance right, seeking first the new things that Jesus offers us, we find ourselves not as slaves to the world, but as servants of God, pursuing the kingdom. And we need growth in these areas. So let's consider, as part of our Going for Growth theme, an area where seeking after the next new thing is not just good, it's an absolute requirement. Now that should excite us all, because we do like new things. And God is saying, I've got an area where it's required that you do this. Yes, this is permission from God to desire and to seek new things. But don't rush for the credit cards too quickly. You see, each one of those top level new things that I read out at the beginning is just like Amazon Prime. Where's he going next? It's just like Amazon Prime. You did hear that right. Now, I got Amazon Prime for one reason only. It's the only reason I knew about. It promised me next day deliveries on the new things I bought. Amazon Prime promised me next day deliveries. And so I got Amazon Prime because I'm so impatient. I need next day deliveries. So I got Amazon Prime. And very quickly, I discovered there was more to it than just next day deliveries. We'll get back to this in a moment. And each of these new things from God contains so much more than we can begin to imagine. We hear the headline and it sounds great. There is more than we can begin to imagine below each of those headlines. They are worth much closer, much deeper examination. When someone gets caught up in investing too much in what the world offers, we become locked into a negative and unsustainable cycle. And it erodes who we are. It erodes our humanity. And we miss out on the purposes and the fullness that Jesus offers. I came to give you fullness of life. But when we have the God-given desire and we allow that free rein in our lives to actively seek and invest our lives in the new things that God offers through Jesus, we are invited into a new positive cycle of growth, of maturity, of fruitfulness in the kingdom. And that constantly refines, renews, and transforms us. So, it's about where and what our desires and priorities are focused. Now, who's heard the word mindset? We've all heard that, surely. Mindset. It's a good word. It's basically, it's our general attitude. It's an outlook on life. It's our inclinations. That's how the dictionary describes it. Is, are we inclined, firstly, towards Jesus, his priorities, the new things that he offers us? And if we are, then the rest. When our lives are inclined towards what Jesus offers us, then we find so much more value in life. However, when we leave as a simple afterthought the new things that Jesus promises us, we'll sort of fit them in when we've got the time or the energy, we find our lives diminished greatly. So our mindset, what is our mindset? Where are our inclinations in this area? How about the word heart set? We've heard of mindset. It is a word, honest. I haven't just made that up. Heart set. And it's obviously a close relation of mindset, but it's more to do with our emotions and compassion and desires and truth and all of those softer things, but really, really important things when we are followers of Jesus. Where do we invest our emotional energy? Where are our desires focused? Are we full of compassion and seekers after truth? That's our heart set. So we've got these two things, mindset and heart set. And with relation to what Jesus offers us, these new things, what is our mindset and what is our heart set? Important words. Well, why are they important words? Have I just made that up? No. Because in the Bible, we have a letter from Paul, originally written to a group of young churches in Colossae. Now, that's in what we now call Turkey. And he says this, set your mind and set your hearts on things above, not on things below. And do not allow yourselves to be shaped and influenced by the worldly things. Seek the things of God with your heart and with your mind. That's why they're important. And now it's back to Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime and new things. When I got Amazon Prime to get me quick deliveries, I had no idea that Prime Video was part of the package. It was a revelation to me, and I can't tell you how excited I was. I know, I'm sad, I know, but I was that excited. There were new videos, there were new TV programs, there were new box sets, there were new games. I thought, this is amazing. And so I thought, oh, there's every film I haven't watched. I haven't seen that one. I haven't seen that box set. I'll watch that again. Oh, this is going to be great. And I made it my business to find out what I'd actually paid for with Amazon Prime. And I thought, I am going to get the most out of this service and these services on offer. You see, under the headline Amazon Prime, turns out that there was an awful lot of stuff, a lot of new things. But here's the question God asked me. Do I have a greater desire and passion to continually explore, inform myself about, and unpack the inexhaustible and invaluable array of new things that Jesus offers each one of us all the time? And how much money, time, energy, how many resources am I prepared to invest in those new things? Now, I'm not going to do all the work for you today, as I said. That would hardly test our passion, our desire, our heart set, and our mindset. So what I'm going to do, of course, I haven't got everybody's email address. What I was going to do, and I still will for those who have an email address, was circulate that list of new things and the scripture references and say, read them, pray on them, meditate on them, and you will find they open up into a whole world of new things that God has for you through Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, there's a book written by a guy called Hosea. And there's some great verses in that book. It's a good book. You've got to know the background, to make head and tail of it, I'll be honest. If you just read it cold, you'll think, why on earth did I read that? But when you give your mind a bit of time, and one of them says this, people without understanding will come to ruin. Do you think it's somebody on? Oh, right. I thought it was like a little duck or a bird that was just caught back there somewhere. People without understanding will come to ruin. And this back to this word understanding, we seek understanding, to understand who God is, what God has done for us and given us through Jesus, and what God requires of us because of that. We do not want to be Christians who are ruined in the sense that we have simply failed to grasp hold of what God has offered, and therefore we seek understanding. We invest some of our time in seeking to understand what it is that God has for us, and what it is that God requires of us. So, you can do that bit of homework when I email these around. I'm just going to finish by looking at three of them. I think three important ones for each one of us. First, new life, or a new creation, as we read in the New Testament. You are, if you know Jesus, if you're following Jesus, you are a new creation. You have new life. Now, another phrase the Bible uses to describe this is born again. Now, I know it's a phrase that's much misused in many circles, but it's a great phrase to describe what happens. We are born again when we ask Jesus into our lives, when we decide to follow Jesus with our lives. We are given new life. And it says this, to those who believe in his name, that's Jesus, to those who believe in his name, he has given the right to become children of God. Now, that's sitting under the main headline of new life. We are adopted into his family as his children, his sons and his daughters. That means we're brothers and sisters. This family thing in church is real. New life, new creation, sons and daughters of God. Now, what does it mean for us as we live our lives and relate to other people? What does it mean for us to be a child of God? How will that impact who we are, who people see, how we speak, how we think, how we react and relate to people? It is revolutionary and transformational, and that's just one of the many. And there's more to that one, a lot more than just that. We are heirs of the God, of the Father, heirs of the kingdom. And now an heir inherits. The Bible talks about that, our inheritance, all sitting under that one news headline, new life. Amazing. New character. Galatians 5 talks about some strange fruit in our lives. If you're old enough, you'll know the song reference. So, nobody? Anyway. Some strange fruit in our lives. And this determines the impact our lives and our ministry has as we live our lives. The fruit of the Spirit, new fruit, full of new things. And if we read Galatians 5, what do we find in this new fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see, we unpack one little new headline and look what comes out. God is saying all this is not just for you as voluntary. He says, this is how I am going to develop who I am through you. This is how I'm going to demonstrate who I am through you. As you become, as I become, as we become more loving in the way that Jesus loved. Joyful, peaceful. You know them, I'm sure. If you don't, go to Galatians, read them. How much do we invest ourselves in ensuring we are becoming those things that God is doing in us? You see, we can hold them back. We can repress them. We can stop them. We can decide not to love. We can decide not to be joyful. We can decide to be chaotic rather than peaceful. And so it goes on. How much are we investing in allowing God's new things to transform who we are? How much are we opening ourselves up to let the Holy Spirit embed and plant and nurture these new things in our lives? Now, every punchline to every message I give on growth is going to be the same. This is about each one of us becoming more like Jesus. It's as simple and as complicated as that. It's only ever going to be about that. Because as we become more like Jesus as individuals, so the church becomes more like Jesus, because we're a group of individuals, and so the impact we have on our communities will be more like a Jesus impact, and that just snowballs. And it's simple, because we can read the Gospels, we know what Jesus is like, we know what Jesus did, we know how Jesus spoke, we know how Jesus responded to people. Now, here's a true saying. I think it was Maya Angelou who said it, but it's true, whoever said it. People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. And it is really true. I'll have forgotten what most of you have said 10 seconds after you've said it, because my memory's rubbish. I really will. And as for what you did, we forget. It makes an impact for a while, but we forget. You know that old saying, we've mentioned this many times, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words, they cannot hurt me. Have you ever heard anything as untrue as that in your life? How people make us feel, it lasts, it stays, it can stay a lifetime, it can damage your life forever. And when we begin to be shaped by these new things of God, then our interactions with people will leave them with a feeling. No matter what we've said, we could know the whole of the Bible forwards, backwards, and inside out. We could quote scriptures accurately to people all day long. We could tell them every Bible story there is. But if we leave them feeling something other than the presence of Jesus, we may as well not have bothered with the rest. We may as well not have bothered. And Christians, many of them, they seem to prize the words they speak and the value they know the Bible and the amount they know it very, very highly, more highly than character. And it's not. It's never more highly valued than character. If we know our Old Testament, Jesus says, away with your words and your songs and your festivals. What I want to say is justice and mercy, and I want to see the character of God coming out through my people. So that was two of the new things. That's new fruit and actually new character. That's what that's about, the character of Jesus. And the final one, it's a much more general one, but it's really exciting. I referred to it earlier on, Isaiah. See, I'm doing a new thing. We should be living a life that's just expecting to see the new things God wants to do, not just in other people, not just through other people, but in us and through us. So, Lord, give us eyes to see. Give us minds to perceive. Give us spirits to discern what new things you are wanting to do in me, in you, in us. And I believe we will see transformation after transformation. We will see the community we're called to serve beginning to be transformed. We're already seeing that. We're praying for an acceleration. But I think it's up to us to invest our lives in the new things. So when we go, ooh, new things, we know which new things we're talking about. We know which new things we're getting excited about. And we know which new things we're investing our lives in. Amen.